morning, everybody.
People don't normally have a problem being able to hear me. Most of the time, they just don't want me to say nothing, brother. But I'm glad to be back and to have the opportunity to share God's word with you. Quite a few things I want to say before I get started. I guess the first thing is that I want you to know today that whenever I come and share the word, that the word is real, and I never have preached a message that didn't apply to me. I can't open the Bible without it applying to me. So, and I've shared with a few other congregations what I'm going to share with you today. And of course, as always, I welcome your response. And also today, I want to start out by protecting myself. I want to put out a disclaimer before I get started. I don't know about you, but I've been pretty successful at my herbal practice. Whenever I get sick, I've been quite successful at treating myself with the 8 laws of health, using herbs and things like that. Please note, I never said I didn't believe in doctors. I never said I didn't go to the doctor. I said I treat myself. So when I go to the doctor, I always want to know what happened, what's wrong with me, doc, how it got to be wrong with me, and all that kind of good stuff. What am I doing to make this come on to me? When doc tell me that, then I don't take his prescription. I go back by the herb store, or I correct what I'm doing wrong, or I go get herbs, and I treat myself. I've been very successful at that. I've had opportunity to practice on a few other people. Wife, children, friends. But my reason for saying that, ladies and gentlemen, is that, you know, I've been successful at doing that. But you know what? When I'm studying about what herbs do, and I read those studies, and they'll tell me, well, you know, this particular herb has been shown to do that. This particular herb is shown to do that. This particular herb has shown to have these kind of benefits. And I say, wow, man. And then you know what I do? I run to the store, to the herbal store, to buy those particular herbs. And then when I get that bottle and I look on the side of that bottle says, this particular product does not cure, treat, or prevent any disease. What? Wait a minute now. I just got to read all this stuff about what it'll do. But then when I come by, you say it don't do anything. You ain't promising me it's going to do none of that. All right? I'll say, okay. Well, anyway, today I'm doing the same thing those herbal people do. I'm going to make a disclaimer. Today, I want you to know that I'm not here today to change what you believe. I'm not here today to change what you believe. I'm not here to change how you believe. But at the same time, what I share with you today may make you change what you believe, or it may not. Finally, many of you don't know this, but 30-something years ago, without Bible studies from anybody, just reading my Bible and reading the Conflict of Ages series, Great Controversy, Desire of Ages, just reading that at my home, one day I walked into the Seventh-day Adventist Church 37 years ago. And since then, ladies and gentlemen, I have seen a lot. And by the way, me telling you that doesn't give you no idea how young I am, does it? But ladies and gentlemen, I've seen a lot of things come and I've seen a lot of things go. But today, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not here today to stir up nothing, even though I may end up stirring up something. But my main function here today is simply to ask you a question. And the first, and to do that, I want to turn to Revelation chapter 12 real quick, just to get a biblical starting point. Our scripture reading for this morning came from Revelation chapter 12. And I just want to read the last verse, verse 17, because that is where my subject comes from. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, the Bible says, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's very interesting. The word remnant occurs in the Bible quite a few times, in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, ladies and gentlemen. But it's something very interesting about the word remnant in the book of Revelation, in the fact that it has a different meaning than the other places where you find the word remnant. Okay? So now, before I say any more about that, I would like to establish something to you from the scriptures about the remnant. You see, I can tell you what the remnant are, but I want to give you a biblical basis when you think about the remnant. Okay, well, how does the Bible describe them? I know what the Bible says about them, but are there any other things that I can gather from the scripture that helps me identify and know the strength and the power and the uniqueness of this particular group of people called the remnant? Now, I would like for you to turn in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 10. No, Romans 9. Let's back up one more book. Let's back up to Romans chapter 9. And just to begin our study, I want to look at a couple of other scriptures just to give you a basis of where I'm coming from and how the word remnant is different in the Bible. Romans chapter 9 and verse 27. Let us notice what the scripture says. The scripture says here, "Isaiah also cries concerning Israel. Through the number of the children of Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved." Now, the Bible says here that even though there are a lot of people in Israel, there are only going to be a small amount saved. And it says there are only going to be a small amount saved. And the Bible says that this group out of the many is called the remnant because they are the only ones that are going to be saved. Now, let's go over to verse 32 and let us notice what is unique about this remnant, what makes them different from the other ones that were as the sand of the sea. It was a lot of Israelites. But Paul says, ain't but a few of them going to be saved. Well, listen to what verse 32 says. It says, "Wherefore?" Or for what reason? "Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone." So now, ladies and gentlemen, even though the children of Israel were hundreds and thousands in number, the Bible says, because they thought that they were saved by keeping the law and not saved by faith in Jesus, because of that reason, because their reason was unbiblical, they were not saved. So, ladies and gentlemen, one thing about the remnant is, whatever you believe has to be biblical. It has to be biblical. Okay. Notice, Paul says, you got hundreds of thousands of Jews, but only a few going to be saved. Why? Because they don't believe what the Bible says. They thought salvation could be gained. They believe that old modern saying that we got today, there are a lot of roads that lead to heaven. The Bible says that's not true. Jesus says, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." It ain't no 50 ways, 2 ways, or 3 ways. Jesus says, "I am the way." That's why the Bible says, "There is none other name given among heaven whereby we must be saved but by" who? Jesus. Thank you. Now, let's move on. Let's go over to Romans chapter 11. And let's notice something else very interesting about this little group called the remnant. Now, notice the Bible says, Romans 11, and let's... Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 5 give you the whole crunch, but I don't want to read all of the scriptures for fear it may take up too much time. I know y'all like to get out at 12 o'clock, Sister Clayton, so I don't want to. But I know people, I know Adventists will throw stones at you, like they did Jesus, and tried to grab him, took him out of the chariot. But I don't want y'all to do that to me. Y'all give me a little grace. But anyway, well, let's just go to verse 5. You can go back and read the whole 5 verses later if you want to, but I just want to give you the crunch of it here. Verse 5 says this. It says, even so, then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now, I got to read all these verses. Excuse me. Let me go back. Let me read verse. It doesn't make sense if I don't read all the verses. Let's just go. As I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid. For I am an Israelite and the seed of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people, which we foreknew. Want we not that the scripture says of in Isaiah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thy altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Talking about Elisha. And the Bible says, but what says the answer of God unto them? I have reserved unto myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. And he says, even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now here it is, ladies and gentlemen, in the Old Testament, during the time of Elijah, we know the story about Elijah. When he said, God, you know, there's only me left, and God came, no, boy, you know what you're talking about. I've got 7,000 people who have not bowed the knee to Baal. In other words, I have 7,000 people who are still obeying what the Word says. And what did the Word say? The Word says, do not bow the knee to Baal. And the remnant is known, ladies and gentlemen, by here and by Paul as being people who do what the Word says. And notice, even Elijah's day, there were hundreds and thousands of Israelites. But God said, I'm only interested in, I can only save the ones who have not bowed the knee to Baal. I can only save those who are obeying the Word. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we go to the book of Revelation, and the book of Revelation takes a different twist. You see, the book of Revelation is not, has this word remnant in the book of Revelation doesn't have the same meaning as the word remnant in Romans. You see, Romans is referring to one or two out of the many. In the book of Revelation, the word remnant means the whole. The whole. Everybody. When God said in the book of Revelation, the devil was mad with the remnant, that means everybody. When we join this church, what do we say? We're joining the what? The remnant. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is telling us that we are the remnant. Now, the scripture says in Revelation 12 that the church went into the wilderness. Isn't that right? And the church came out of the wilderness. Now, what went into the wilderness is what came out of the wilderness. You cannot be the remnant if you are not like the original. Correct? Correct? If I got cloth up here, if I got blue cloth, green cloth, and red cloth, what color cloth do I have to match to be the remnant of either one of those cloths? I would have the same color. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we say we are the remnant, when the Bible talks about the remnant, the Bible says that the people who went into the wilderness, the church that went into the wilderness, when it came out of the wilderness, it's the exact same people. They believe the exact same thing. And ladies and gentlemen, my question for me even coming here today is to ask you a simple question is, and that question is, how can we claim today to be the remnant if we are changing what we believe and what we practice?
That's why I'm here today. I want to ask you that question, as I've asked many of our church members. How can we claim to be the remnant if we are not like the original? And now, let me quit making you wonder what I'm talking about, and let me be specific. And this is not stuff that I've heard about. This stuff that when I go to our churches and talk to our folk, this is the stuff that they're telling me today. First of all, one of the things that's new today among us, and I know you all have probably heard it. Some of our churches are changing our position on polygamy. Having more than one husband, more than one wife. We've got new interpretations of the spirit of prophecy. We've got new interpretations of marriage and divorce. We've got new ideas on jewelry and cosmetics. We've got new ideas on creation. God really didn't create the world in 6 days like he said in the Bible and the rest of the Sabbath. We've got new ideas on creation. We've got new ideas on the role of women in the church. Can they be ordained as elders and pastors or not? We've got new ideas on sexuality in the church. We've got new ideas on how we should keep the Sabbath. We've got new ideas on the spirit of prophecy. Ellen White cannot, the spirit of prophecy cannot speak to us as a theologian. You know, she can give her testimony, but that's about as far as her stuff can go. We've got new ideas. Now, ladies and gentlemen, some of you are sitting there, maybe, you're saying to yourself, Brother Trevor, let me tell you something. If somebody get a divorce for a reason that's other than the Bible reason, I don't see nothing wrong with them getting married again. Some of you will be saying, Brother Trywell, I don't see nothing wrong with if a woman wants to be an elder or a pastor. I don't see nothing wrong with that. Some of you may be saying, well, Brother Trywell, well, what's the big deal? So I don't believe God created the world in 6 days. What's the big deal? Well, Brother Trywell, if somebody's a homosexual in my church and they're a good person, they want to work in the church, I don't see nothing wrong with that. But keep in mind here, I'm not here today to change your view or your opinion or your idea of what you like and what you dislike. I'm not even here to argue with you about none of those issues. I'm here today to ask you a question is, if the original church did not believe like you are believing today, how can you sit in here and say that you are the remnant? That's the only reason I'm here today for. I'm not here to make you mad at me or not invite me back. I'm just here to ask you the questions that I've been asking folks all over the state. How can we call ourselves the remnant if we are not like the original, ladies and gentlemen? That's all I'm asking you. Don't get mad at me. I'm just asking you a plain, simple question. And the question is not for me to answer for you. The question is something for you to look back and say, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Come on here. Wait a minute. What's going on? That's what I want you to do. When you think about this day and what I said, that's all I want to come in your mind is that question. Am I believing that the original? Or am I believing something else? You have seen in the book of Revelation, the remnant, ladies and gentlemen, is not someone who comes and set their own identity. Their identity was set already. You see? Now, let me. You see, in order to be remnant, you got to be like the original. But then some people want to pull hair. How much can I change and still be remnant? Well, let me ask you something. If I got a piece of cloth this white and there's nothing on it, and you come put one dot in the middle of it, have you changed that cloth to something else? Amen.
But. How, ladies and gentlemen? How can I be the remnant if I am not like the original? I would like to ask the GC conference president that. I would like to ask the conference president that. I would like to ask the union president that. I would like to ask this question to every Seventh-day Adventist on the planet. And you see what I like about the question is, you can't attack me because I'm just simply asking you a question, and all you got to do is answer the question to yourself. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do, ladies and gentlemen. And so today, when we talk about the remnant, ladies and gentlemen, when I say that I'm a remnant, then I should be able to look at you. I should be able to hear you talk. You see, because we got new worship styles also, you see. Instead of just getting up here and preaching the gospel and doing like we do, now we want to do like all... Some of our churches, ladies and gentlemen, is so ridiculous. I cannot tell the difference. Listen, folks. People that are not in the church, everything they say might not make sense. But I had a good friend of mine. He was in the world. He was still in the world. And his sisters was Christian. And they just tell him, boy, come around church, man. You, the Holy Ghost will fall on you and you'll get saved. And he said, oh, okay. So he went to church with them. And he came back and I said, man, how was it, man? What went on, man? He said, man, let me tell you something. He said, when I sat in church, he said, the only thing he said, wasn't nothing different from church. The only thing different was I didn't have a beer to drink. He said, but the music was the same. The dancing was the same. They was moving the same way. They were acting the same way. He said, the only thing that wasn't different, what was different was they wasn't serving beer. He said, other than that, I couldn't tell that I wasn't in a bar. With the rock music, the rap music, and all this other kind of stuff. No kind of standards as far as dress, ladies and gentlemen. You ought to go to some of our churches, ladies and gentlemen, if you think I'm hallucinating. You ought to go to some of our church, ladies and gentlemen. I go to some of our church and I sit there and I listen to what they're preaching. Ladies and gentlemen, I know the Bible says that we are saved by Jesus and Jesus only. But ladies and gentlemen, that is not all that's in the Bible. It's Jesus and Jesus only. Amen. We know Jesus is the one that saves us. And yes, Jesus should be, I should preach Jesus before I preach the Sabbath. That's not my issue. My issue is the Bible is full of stuff. And I imagine that if God didn't want me to preach it, I teach it, he wouldn't have it in here. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about remnant, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, the remnant. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I only got a few minutes left. I don't profess to be the most brilliant person in the world. But let me tell you what I do. You know, I wanted to figure this thing out. I said, God, you know, you talking about the remnant, I got to be like the original. I said, what am I doing? How can I solve this thing? Without me getting myself into controversy, but yet at the same time, making sure I'm biblically correct. And this is just, I'm going to share with you what God shared with me. God said, listen to me, son, let me tell you. There are three times in the Bible where I bring my church before the world so that the world can see what the church is like. Take your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 7. This is where God sent me first. Come on, Acts chapter 7. Come on. We need to get it all in before we sit down. Acts chapter 7, verse 38. Acts 7, 38. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. This is God takes us back. He says this. He said, this is he that was in the what? The church where? In the wilderness. With the angel who spoke to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the light of oracles to give unto us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, notice here. The Bible says, ladies and gentlemen, that the first time the world, or the Bible lets us know that the world, hey, God said, hey, that's my church. It started in the wilderness. God said, by church. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what do I do? All of this stuff that these folk are throwing at me today, with all these changes,
You know what I say? I say, okay. Did the church in the wilderness teach that? Did the church in the wilderness teach that it was okay for homosexuals to participate in church service and be church members? I'm checking it out by the church. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, if I got to be the remnant, how can I be the remnant if I don't know what the original church taught? I go down the list of all the stuff. Did the first church teach that? I can have 4, 5, 6, or 7 wives at the same time. I'm not talking about what people practice. I'm talking about what the church taught. You see, don't get confused and say, well, you know, King so-and-so, King so. Listen, I'm not confused on what people did as versus to what the Bible teaches. I want to know what the Bible taught, not what people practiced. And that's what you and I want to know. We want to know what the Bible taught. And so I take that and I can run that down everything. I run it down to music. I run it down to the spirit of prophecy. Did they reject the prophet? Do we have to do what the prophet says? Oh man, I just go down the list. I do it with marriage. I do it with jewelry. I do it with creation. Everything they're thrown at me today, I say, okay, did the church in the wilderness teach that? Okay? Check it out by the church in the wilderness. Now, the second time, the church, God said, hey, the church, you got to be like this. If you're going to be the remnant, take your Bibles and turn with me. Let's go to Matthew 16. Ladies and gentlemen, Matthew 16. And keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, we want to be the remnant. We want to be the remnant. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Notice that Jesus had a little few problems with the church. Well, Matthew 16... and verse 18, Jesus says something. He said, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we all know that when the church in the wilderness rejected Jesus, Jesus said, okay, I've got to start another church. Now, ladies and gentlemen, now all I want to know about all these folk who want to talk to me about these new changes and these new ideas, all I want to know is, did the church that Jesus started, that went into the wilderness, did that particular church teach what you are trying to get me to change to? And ladies and gentlemen, one of the biggest ones that they tell me now is that we have new methods of interpreting the Bible. Well, you know, the only question I have, okay, you got new methods of interpreting the Bible. Okay, well, fine. Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you my question. Did the original church interpret the Bible the way you are interpreting it now? And it's changing what you believe? If the original church didn't interpret the Bible the way you're interpreting it, then guess what? You are not the remnant. Now, you know, you can do whatever you want to do. I mean, I can't make you groan. I ain't making none of y'all sick here, but you're sick here. You know, so, you know, that's not even the issue. You know, those things, but ladies and gentlemen, the question is, the question is, if you want to reinterpret the Bible, that's your business. But did the original church interpret it that way? Let me tell you, I can make the Bible teach anything. I remember 30 years ago, I was studying with some folk. And when they found out that we were Seventh-day Adventists, they had brought a book where somebody had written, said that Ellen White said, that the spirit of prophecy said that it was no way slavery was ever going to end. And I told them, go get that book and please bring it to me because I have all of her writings and I never remember her saying any such thing. And they went and got the book and brought it to me. The person only took the last part of her statement. She said, it looked like to me slavery wouldn't end because of how deep-rooted it was. She didn't say it wouldn't end. She said it looked like to her it wouldn't end. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I can take the Bible just like I can take the spirit of prophecy and teach anything I want to teach. But, ladies and gentlemen, see, God has made it easy for me and you. He's not asking me. Now, I understand there's a degree of searching of the scriptures to know what it says for yourself. I understand that. But God has made it easy. He has laid it out in a group and in a church and a people who says, okay, this is what the word says. This is what it means. This is how it is. And so I don't have to bombard around saying, well, you know, oh, God, what can I believe? Oh, I'm all out here by myself. No, God has made it easy. He's given it to the church. He's given it to the church, ladies and gentlemen. And it's all right here. I'm not saying it's not here. I'm just saying God has made it easy for you and me. But ladies and gentlemen, the question is, why is it that we don't want to be the remnant? Why do we want to be different? Why is it that we want to be like everybody else? If that's my mentality, I cannot be the remnant, because God is calling the remnant to be different from everybody else, ladies and gentlemen. God, people, come on. My only reason here today is to ask you that question. Whatever it is that you're battling with in your mind, whatever it is that you are changing, whatever it is you're changing. Let me say this before I go. And the third time we see the church in history, the third time, first time was in the wilderness, second time was when Jesus said, I'm starting me another church. And the last time we see the church blown up before the world is Revelation chapter 12. When the church went into the wilderness, the Bible says, and will be there for times, and divided of time, 3.5 years, 1260 years. The church came out after 1798. And guess what? And it said when that church came out, it had the spirit of prophecy and it was keeping the commandments of God. Ladies and gentlemen, search your Bible, search history. There's no church on this planet that fit the scriptural criteria but the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Ladies and gentlemen, we should want to be unique. We should want to stand out. Not for stand out's sake, but because God has made us and He's called us to be different. And so, ladies and gentlemen, whatever it is you're battling with, if you don't know whether what you're hearing is biblical, ask yourself, did the church in the wilderness teach it? Did Jesus' church teach it? And when the church came out of the wilderness, did our pioneers teach it? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so dead serious here today, it's not even funny. And folks, I hear it so much. Well, Brother Rowell, we don't look at the scriptures that way anymore. Well, I don't care how you look at them. I want to know, did the original look at them like that? And so, ladies and gentlemen, you know, please, whatever it is you're struggling with, God, I'm going to pray. Whatever it is that they're challenging you. And see, folks, and please keep the Bible and what you like and how you feel separate. Because I have homosexual friends. Yes? Yes? See, I'm not against homosexuals. I'm against homosexuality. Just like the Bible, the practice. And I'm not for them being up in the church and being members of the church until there are lifestyle changes. Jesus said that when you come to me, I will make you a new creature. In other words, he'll change whatever is wrong with somebody. So if somebody, ladies and gentlemen, if somebody is not willing to change, then they're not wanting to be a remnant. And they're not wanting to be a Christian. That's why the Bible says, all have sinned and come short. Everybody messed up. I messed up just like you. And so today I'm appealing to you, ladies and gentlemen. And you notice something before I sit down. Not one time did I tell you to do what I do. I said, go see what the church in the wilderness taught. Go see what the church Jesus started taught. Go back and see what our pioneers taught. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, you can't believe what everybody tell you. Sometimes you got to set your eyeballs on it yourself. And so today, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to end with my question. I don't know what you were struggling with, what makes sense to you and what don't make sense to you. My only question to you today, God says that the remnant is going to be just like the original. And if that is not you, And if that is not me, I am not remnant. God says, I will save the remnant. Why? Because the remnant are doing what I say. And so, my conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, today. When you go back and you remember this question, maybe. I pray that you'll get it together just like I want to get it together. How can the General Conference, how can the Union Conference, how can any church that claims to be a Seventh-day Adventist, how can they claim at the same time to be remnant when they don't believe and practice like the original church? But it is my prayer, it's my closing hymn. When the roll is called up yonder, I want to be there. And so as we stand and sing all three stanzas of this song, I want you to think about it. Is there anything hindering you? But when that roll is called up yonder, stopping you from being there. Let us pray. Father in heaven, again, Lord, we like it when you let us be like Mary and Martha. When they was in the house and Martha was busy with serving and tried to take Mary away, but you said, no, Mary have chosen that good part. She's sitting here listening to me. And I like it when you allow me to do that, to listen to you. When you can shut me in walls like this, and you can get my attention, and you can do like the Bible says, you say, come, let us reason together. So today, God, we pray that if you made of all today reason in our minds, we pray that you would help us all to want to be that remnant. Help us to want to be saved. Help us to want to do right. God, everybody in here might not want to do right. I don't know. But I know you promised in your word that you would work in us both the will and to do. You would give us the desire and the power to want to do your will. And so for all of us, wherever we are lacking at today, please supply. And as we go our separate ways and continue to study, please, God, draw us ever so near to you. Please speak to our minds and our hearts and help us to remember that we are a church that says that we are sola scriptura. Means that we believe in the Bible and the Bible only. Please help our lives, our words, our actions, and our beliefs reflect what the Word says. Make us again the people of the Word. If you do these things for us, we'll be so careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we won't be able to stop ourselves from witnessing to men, women, boys, and girls, no matter where we are. And Jesus, please make us the same in the daylight as we are in the dark. Please help us to be the same. We pray and ask, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.